Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. My name is Greg Mahochko, and as this episode drops, happy Father's Day to all of you dads, or dads-to-be out there. You are appreciated. We'll just get that out of the way. No Hoss this weekend, as he forgot that we do a podcast every week, and he is in Branson, Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks area of Missouri. In fact, he spent Saturday night in the emergency room. Good job, Hoss. I don't know how it happened. I saw what happened, or the end result. Look forward to having story time when he returns to the show next weekend, assuming, of course, that he doesn't go on another weekend adventure and leave me all alone. But I'm not all alone, because the Coronation cross-examination continues this week, and we are going to turn the scope to a younger, I don't want to say younger audience, but a younger target, if you will. And joining me for his debut, noticing a theme here, a lot of Coronation staffers are making their Five Heart Podcast debut on this series. We're going to have to change that up in the next calendar year. Hear from more voices. But making his Five Hearts debut is Evan Wiebe. Evan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, sir. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good Saturday night.
Yeah, not, you know, how old are you?
19, yeah.
Okay, so you could have many better Saturday nights than Skyping with me for the podcast.
I will in the future. We'll say that.
I was 19. My Saturday nights were typically spent at a buddy's house, usually playing Xbox, you know, because it was 2001. So Evan, you're young. Back in 2000, 2001, there was this thing called the Xbox, and it was a large black square with like a green circle in the middle with an X on it. It was the original Xbox, not the Xbox One. Don't let them confuse you. It was just a big black box. And it was heavy as shit. But you could, you know, get a... We're nerds. So we'd have LAN parties with Halo. Do kids even play Halo anymore?
I wouldn't say it's as popular as it was back then.
I don't see... I don't watch commercials.
Apparently the newer games are not as good.
I could see that. Those original ones were great for what they were. Especially at the time.
Yep.
But here's a little fun fact for you and for everybody listening. Because my high school didn't have football, because I didn't really have a whole lot of exposure to football announcing, when I took a job as the voice of the Shattern Cardinals, Shattern, Nebraska, 1,000 miles from home at the time, I was like, okay, I need to get in on the terminology and in a hurry. So it wasn't Madden. It was like the Xbox's version of Madden, but it was, you know, NFL. I can't remember if it was just...
Was it 2K?
No, it wasn't even. It was pre-2K.
Oh, wow.
It was okay. Just... It was NFL Pro or something like that. But, I mean, it had the NFLPA and NFL licensing, official teams, official rosters, things like that. But I just picked off some terminology from that and went in to that first game in Torrington, Wyoming. And I'm like, okay... I still sucked because I didn't know any of the players. But, you know, I'll say this, and we'll touch on it as we go on, but you're going to school right now. What are you pursuing?
So, actually, it's kind of cool. I was going to go into sports broadcasting, but I just kind of, I was like, man, this is going to be so hard to get a job at ESPN someday. It's
especially when they fire a lot of people today. Yeah.
Well, and so I switched my major to advertising and public relations, and the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, that's where I go to school. the College of Journalism and Mass Communications actually just added a new major this past fall, which is called Sports Media and Communication. And so I'm double majoring in both of those, advertising and public relations and sports media and communication.
Nice. What I learned very early on is it didn't matter how many technical terms that I knew until I was quick enough and familiar enough with the players. It didn't mean anything because it was like, there goes quarterback 13. He sure is, everything's delayed because you're always looking down at the roster. What helped me really well was basketball season because in much of Nebraska, but especially small town Nebraska, you know, the football players also play basketball and then they run track and they play, you know, out west where there's not high school baseball. Yeah. They play Legion ball in the summer. So by the time football season came around again and there's, you know, 22 names or 22 bodies on the field, I'd seen these guys for a full year in about every sport, you know, wrestling as well. And so I'm like, all right, boom, boom, boom. You know, I fell into a groove that the second and third years out there and even my fourth season where I had a lot more fun were really great times for me calling football because I had the technical terminology down. I had the names down, and that was the big things for me. So awesome, man! And hearing that you're pursuing, you know, athletic related endeavors both in media and public relations is fantastic. Mm-hmm. As we go on and truly begin the cross examination. So our first question: are you a Nebraska native?
Yes, I am. I'm from Papillion, Nebraska. Lived in the same house all my life.
Are your parents home right now?
I'm actually at my apartment in Lincoln.
Oh, okay. So yeah. you don't live in the same house then?
Nope,
all your
nope.
life. You lied.
I moved out. How when I got to college.
How are we going to establish trust if you're lying on the first question?
Well, technically, I still have residency at my parents' house, so I do technically live there.
Okay. I was going to say, just so you know, going back to the Saturday nights, before I was hanging out, you know, with my friends playing video games, my Saturday nights, and I've said this on other podcasts as well, without fail, man, 9 o'clock rolls around, Walker, Texas Ranger. That was Saturday night entertainment with mom and dad. My sister was a few years older than me, so she'd be out, you know, doing whatever. Man, Walker, Texas Ranger, Chuck Norris rolls on, and you know it's going to be a good Saturday night if it's a new episode. All right, moving on. In Lincoln, I'm nothing specific. I don't need your address. You know, we're not sending you a care package.
Yeah.
How do you like living in Lincoln?
I actually really like it. When I moved from Papillion, you know, I don't know who all is familiar with Papillion. It's a suburb of Omaha. And the one thing that I really liked about Papillion was it felt like a bigger city to where there's a lot of stuff to do. It wasn't like a Western Nebraska type field town. And it was close enough
to Omaha. I take offense to that Western Nebraska remark, sir.
Hey, I love Western Nebraska. My grandparents are from Dakin. I know that's not necessarily Western Nebraska, but I love small towns. It's I wouldn't want to live there personally.
I actually just saw this on a Twitter thread. They were talking about Western Nebraska, and somebody said, yeah, anything past York is Western Nebraska. And in Western Nebraska, that's kind of the feeling that I say we, you know, from the time out there, but that's kind of that's how we feel that, you know, Eastern Nebraskans think. It's like, yeah, anything past like Hastings and Grand Island might as well be in Colorado and Wyoming. That's our mentality based on, you know, what the feedback we receive from back east, from the central time zone, if you will. So
yeah,
you Eastern Nebraskans can suck it.
I could definitely see why people say that.
And it is a hell of a long drive. I've made that drive numerous times. It is a nightmare. But one day, my wife and I drove from our house in Illinois to Scotts Bluff for a friend of ours' wedding that weekend.
Oh.
And yeah, it was like, 16, 18 hours, something like that, in the vehicle. But when we left our home, it was 70 degrees, sunny, middle of April.
You get up there, it's snowing.
Yeah, well, yeah, and all through Missouri was rain. We get finally a little bit of break on the in the southeast corner of Nebraska, and then, yeah, there's snow on the ground, you know, everything past, well, about North Platte. So it's like, man, we got to experience two or three different seasons in one day, in one drive. Thanks.
Well, that's Nebraska for you.
Oh, for sure. But going back to, you know, the jabs at Western Nebraska, but, you know, talking about Papillion and growing up there, how does that differ, you know, because you said it's a suburb of Omaha, so you're close to stuff, but how does that differ from being in Lincoln where, I mean, Omaha is still, I don't know, if I hope I'm saying this correctly, but probably the cultural center of Omaha, or I mean of Nebraska, if that makes sense. I mean, it's the biggest city. But Lincoln's, you know, there's a lot to do in Lincoln. I really enjoy Lincoln as a city. So how do the two compare?
And, you know, it might be because I was younger when I lived in Papillion full time. But, I mean, I personally think there's more to do in Lincoln. Partly that's because I'm in college. But the one similarity that I really see between Lincoln and Papillion, which I personally like Lincoln better now, is you go to, like, not necessarily the outskirts, but you get out of downtown Lincoln, and there are different pockets of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, in South Lincoln, they have some really nice neighborhoods over there. Same with way out east in Lincoln. And, you know, I personally like neighborhoods like that. That's what I'm comfortable with because, you know, that's where I grew up in Papillion. But you're still very close to Lincoln and, like, the downtown Lincoln area. So that's what I like about Lincoln. You don't have to get on the interstate to get to downtown like you do from Papillion to Omaha, or from Papillion to downtown Omaha. So that's what I like. I still do love Papillion. If I could end up starting a family someday there, that'd be perfect for me.
And isn't it, it really, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this, but really says a lot about the community that you grew up in, that, you know, you'd want to return there and to raise, you know, a family of your own. So that's,
oh yeah.
And really, I'm not going to lie, the only thing I know about Papillion, you know, coming into this conversation, is that it's apparently very close to La Vista. So
yeah, it is. To the fun fact for you, Papillion was actually named the best place to live in America in, I think, 2012 or 2013, something really? Like that. And it's been on the top 5 list ever since.
That I did not know that. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna try to make a wisecrack, but I've got nothing. So we'll just move on then. You are a student at the University of Nebraska Lincoln, and we've talked about your academic pursuits. But obviously, if you're living in the city and you've got an apartment, you've got to have a day job as well. And you know, in talking like we did in just scheduling this, figuring it out, you're like, hey, this is when I work. So what is your day job, as it were?
I work at Blue Blood Brewing Company.
That's,
Yep.
Well, now you have my full interest in it. No, I'm kidding. You had that from the beginning. So you are obviously familiar with our good friend of the show and coordination contributor, Mr. Ty Peter Honitz.
See him pretty frequently.
Yeah. You know what? You know who doesn't see him very frequently?
You.
I was going to say the Slack chat room.
Really.
Ty, if you're listening to this, we miss you, man. Come on, Ty. So,
I don't really miss talking to a Denver Broncos fan.
So you're a Chiefs fan.
Yep, Chiefs fan.
You know what? The Husker, you know, Husker fans graduate to all types of pro teams. So that's all right. What do you do at the fine Blue Blood Brewing Company?
I'm just a host right now.
All
right. I pretty much mainly work on the weekends. I'm hoping, like, to get this internship that I applied for and interviewed for at Nelnet. It's a intern for being a copywriter and social media guy. Should be finding out here in the next week or so. Just really hoping I get that because I haven't had an internship yet. Besides, I did have an internship in the fall for Husker Vision. I was a camera guy there, but since I'm graduating college in 3 years, I just feel the pressure of needing the internship soon.
Sure,
if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. And let's talk about that because I don't know if you know this or not, but I graduated college in 2 years.
Oh wow!
But it was a community college, and it was only 2 years for my associates. So, what type of course load? I imagine if you're trying to get 4 years of coursework crammed into 3 years, then you're taking an awful lot of credit hours.
Yeah, I am. I came into college with, I think, 9 credit hours. That was from the AP classes that I took in high school. So that left me with 111 credits to go. First semester of college, I think I took like 16 credit hours. Second semester, or no, I took 17 and I took 16 as a freshman year spring semester guy. Last summer, the only college class I took was Spanish, which that was my third semester. I'm awful at Spanish, so I wanted to take that online through Metro. And then this past fall, I think I took 16 credit hours, and then this past spring I took 18, kind of 19 because I took a pop-up class about drones. So yeah, and then this summer I'm taking a total of 12. Already completed one class.
That's awesome.
About halfway through the next one. Then this next fall I'll be taking, actually I get the class schedule right here, be taking 16, then 13 in the spring.
That is a pretty heavy course load. I wish you well. I say this a little self-deprecating. I didn't ever consider myself a good student. Like, I made good grades, and my mom was all, as most moms are, I probably like, if you'd have just applied yourself, you could have made straight A's. I'm like, yeah, that whole applying myself thing. And I grew up in a different time than you as – And I don't say this, better or worse or anything, but when I got home from school, there was a little cartoon on after school called the X-Men. You may have heard of them. So I was like, yeah, the X-Men's on. And I would sit there and do homework in front of the TV, which, hey, if you are a student listening, I don't advise that. I just don't advise doing homework in front of the TV. But anyway.
I can barely do homework listening to music.
Yeah, but at the same time, me and homework and silence, I was going to like pull my hair out.
Yeah. So, you don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do. So, a lot of schoolwork ahead of you and trying to get done in 3 years. I have to ask, it's pretty brave coming on the podcast knowing that you have an internship pending. Any concerns about any blowback from your appearance here today?
Oh, no. I actually gave the guys, the guy that I interviewed, I sent them the few coordination articles I've actually written. So I'm not too worried. He was actually really impressed that I was able to get on track to graduate in 3 years, especially with two majors.
Yeah, that is... I'm not pandering. I'm not saying this just because you're on the line with me, but that's impressive as hell. So let us move on. We're really going to start talking Husker stuff now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 19 years old. Are you a lifelong Husker fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just born into it and
yeah, my dad has about 50 old Nebraska games on VCR, and I went to my first game in 2005 when we played Wake Forest at home. My dad said I fell asleep during that game, but I don't really remember any of the 05 season. I do remember the 06 season pretty well, though. I remember in 05 we were playing Michigan in the Alamo Bowl, and that was 05, right?
Yeah, yes, 05. I remember that game vividly.
Well, my parents actually, me and my sister's Christmas gift that year was a trip to Disneyland. So my dad and I actually wanted to cut the trip short a couple of days so that we could come home and watch the Husker game.
Did that get vetoed? And
yeah, that we actually won that argument, which was funny. Yeah. And I still remember the last play of that game.
That's one of those last plays that's pretty unforgettable. It's not quite as memorable as the Stanford marching band, but it's
no,
but it's, I mean, it's up there because you know, and
I mean this was our team, so
right. But you know, it's yeah, you just don't forget, you know, everybody rushing the field prematurely. So if 05 was your first season or your first game in person, do you have like an earliest memory of maybe not necessarily watching it in person, but maybe, you know, sitting, you know, watching a game on TV with the family or something like that, or hearing it on the radio and like your first maybe Husker memory?
I would say that I've been a Husker fan for so long that I don't necessarily know what my first memory is. I think I can narrow it down to two. I don't remember the first Husker game I went to at all, but I do remember going to the 2004 spring game. Okay. I remember going to that. It was a pretty hot day out. I remember walking down through the North Bottoms with my parents. That was like the vivid part about that. I remember sitting on the stands a little bit. But the other one that I remember is my dad and I were watching a Nebraska versus Texas game from, I have no idea what year it would have been, but I remember I was just, you know, little kids have so much energy, so I was just bouncing up and down the couch, couldn't really concentrate because I didn't really like football at this time. My dad always tells me about how when I was, you know, 3 years old, I'd always want to come down and watch cartoons, and then once on Saturday mornings, my dad would have to, you know, get up and go upstairs and watch the games up there. But I'm honestly surprised he let me watch cartoons. I would have told me to sit down and start watching some football and become a man. But no, about a year later, I did, and literally haven't looked back.
It's one of those things, you know, for a lot of kids growing up, you know, Saturday morning cartoons ended when Soul Train came on. And you are not old enough to remember Soul Train.
Okay. I might be. Is Soul Train that music show?
More dance than music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, honestly, haven't thought about that in a decade. But yeah, I actually remember when the cartoons would end, that show would come on, and I actually remember getting scared because I had no idea what was happening.
Okay, that's another conversation for another time. But what I was going to say is, you know, for most kids, Saturday morning cartoons end with Soul Train. You know, but if you're a Husker fan, Saturday morning cartoons end at 11 o'clock when you change mm-hmm. channel and Nebraska's got that early game. Unless, you know, the family's all about college, watching ESPN College Game Day, which I you know, some days I take it or leave it or tune in for the last, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, catch the picks.
I like the picks.
That's about it. I mean, you know, and you can say what they want. I know ESPN tries, or at least makes it look like they're trying, but I think there's still a lot of bias there. So
I agree.
Well, let's move on, shall we?
Sounds good.
Gonna reorder these a little bit. We've got a couple of favorite Husker ... questions, but before we get to the really good, let's ask this one, and if you've listened to the other episodes, you know what question I'm about to ask. But of the four fired coaches, Frank Solich, Bill Callahan, Bo Pelini, Mike Riley, which do you wish most would have been successful? You know, obviously, you know, the common answer is, well, you know, I'm a fan of the team. I want them all to be successful. But if you had to pick one of those four who would have, you know, found the groove and been successful and you know, would still be here and maybe gotten the team over the hump, you know, past the plateau, who would it be?
Well, I kind of have an interesting answer. I wasn't around for the Frank Solich era. Like, I don't remember any of that. Obviously, I was born right when the Frank Solich era was starting, but I'd watch games when I was a month old.
Sure.
My dad actually blames me for the loss at Texas A&M, I think, in 98. So personally, I would have liked Frank Solich to have been the guy to get over the hump. And partly I say that because then none of this Bill Callahan and Mike Riley would have happened. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully it may have happened, but I think that, you know, maybe Frank just, he was still coaching and he just hasn't gotten it done. Let's say we fired him after last year. I still think that Scott Frost would be our next guy, no matter what. But the thing is, if Frank was around, Scott Frost might still be around as like a assistant coach. So maybe he didn't have the head coaching experience. So you never know.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to throw another hypothetical in there. If Solich had, you know, gotten us over the hump, you know, over the plateau, however you want to phrase it, and had a longer tenure, it's possible that, yes, Scott Frost, you know, goes and this is going to – I don't know how else to phrase it. I mean, I do, but I really just want to say sows his wild oats at other schools and at other, NFL programs. But really, you know, sit under the learning tree of some of the finer coaches that have been around in the last 20 years and still come back in maybe not as the head coach, you know, this year, but maybe in some of the more recent years, maybe come back as a, you know, offensive coordinator or something like that. And then we keep that, you know, that Devaney to Osborne to Solich and then Frost, you know, we keep that family tree intact, so to speak. So I definitely understand what you're saying. Interesting take. It's one that we haven't heard yet on the show in the cross-examination. So, I wasn't around for a whole lot of the Solich era when I got out to Nebraska. But I mean, the guys, you know, ever since he left Nebraska, he's been at Ohio. And again, different school, different expectations, but he's still there. I mean, and that's
exactly
15 years almost, something like that. So, you know, obviously he's, as a man, you know, I don't think anybody can say, you know, anything wrong about Frank Solich as a coach. You know, I don't know. I just don't know what Steve Peterson was expecting from him.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, if you think about it, he's the last coach to get us to a conference championship, so or a conference
and a
title.
National championship.
So, that's true. But, I mean, as far as winning, he was the last one who, you know, under his tutelage, they won a conference championship. So, interesting. I like that take. Do you have an all-time favorite Husker? And it doesn't necessarily have to be football, you know, if it's, you know, whoever it would be, but do you have an all-time favorite Husker athlete?
Okay, so I'll give you two. I know that kind of defeats the purpose.
No, it'd be like 1A and 1B. It's fine.
Yeah, so I feel like this is kind of a cop-out since he's recent, but then again, I'm 19. Amir Abdullah. He was definitely my favorite Husker football player of all time. And then 1B would be Siobhan Shields. Okay. I just love how he was a legacy player. His dad played football here, and he played basketball, and he didn't, you know, he had the opportunity to, you know, explore the NBA after his junior year, but he didn't. He was just like, nope, I'm staying in Nebraska.
And that's, by the way, a couple of, you know, class examples. I mean, both excelled at their craft at Nebraska. Won, you know, a little bit more, I would say, based on the success he had, you know, the on-field product for Amir Abdullah. But, yeah, Siobhan Shields is nothing but respect for him. And like you said, that legacy of you know, obviously the son of Will Shields. And I wanted to ask you, and unfortunately I don't have the name on the top of my head, but Siobhan Shields was one of two legacy players on that team a couple of years ago.
And Ed Morrow.
Thank you. you know exactly, and I was like, the name was on the tip of my tongue, but there was a disconnect between my brain and my mouth. So, what do you think? And you being, you know, younger, I'd really appreciate your opinion on this. What was the difference between a Siobhan Shields and an Ed Morrow Jr.? Like I said, both legacy players. You know, Morrow Jr. had the opportunity. I mean, he was the big man that we, you know, needed.
And he was going to be a guy on the team starting every game.
He was going to be the inside force. So, in your opinion, what? And I'm. It's an unfair question because I'm asking you to, you know, think, you know, put yourself in the shoes of those two individuals. But why did it work out so well for one and not the other?
I think that mainly it was because Siobhan Shields was the only scorer on that team. Like, you had Andrew White III. Did he play with Andrew White III? I can't remember.
Yeah, he would have. There would have been a little crossover there, yeah.
Okay, then yeah, because I think Andrew White III, his senior season would have been Siobhan's senior season as well. And then Andrew White transferred. Maybe. I don't know. Something like that. I could be completely wrong. You guys can tell me if I am.
Is that something? Does that sound like something we would do?
Probably.
Hey, come on now, but, fella.
But I, you know, he was the guy. And Ed Morrow Jr., he got hurt. I remember he was out for like 8 games or so in the middle of the season. And I just feel like he felt that he wasn't going to be the guy, the main guy. And I personally, I think that's why he transferred. I wish he wouldn't have. I can't remember. I know Jacobson went to Iowa State, right? But Ed Morrow Jr., where did he go? He went to Marquette, right?
I think so. By the way, there was a year, it was the 2015-2016 season, that Andrew White III, Siobhan Shields, and Ed Morrow Jr. were all on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
It was the senior season.
That was the redshirt year of Ed Morrow, right?
Right.
Ed Morrow Jr.
And it was the senior season for Siobhan and the junior season for Andrew White.
I almost corrected myself.
We're going to let it go. It's okay.
I usually don't mess up on stuff like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I usually don't mess up.
No, I mess up all the time. Just not in Nebraska stuff.
Fair enough. I like those two picks. We spent a little bit more time talking about Siobhan there, but Amir Abdullah, and he had the opportunity to come back and kind of do a little announcing on the spring game as well. What did you think of him in the broadcast booth?
Well, unfortunately, I was at the game. I know that's so unfortunate of me. But I did rewatch a little bit of it and watch some highlights, and I thought he did really good. He's a fluent speaker, and I've always liked that about Amir. He always has good, like, I guess, word choice. And I know some people might not agree with me, but it's whatever. I've always liked hearing him talk ever since that, what was that, the Big Ten Media Days luncheon that he spoke at before his senior year?
I want to talk because he came to Nebraska to be a running back, had offers to be, you know, like return man, things like that, you know, back down south, either Auburn or Alabama, I think, wanted him to walk on. For all of the, and this is going to really chap Haas's ass when he listens because I'm going to bring up a name that he hates it when I bring up. But for all of the Noah Fants who, you know, don't get, I don't want to say don't get their way. I mean, I don't begrudge any 18, 17, 18-year-old kid for making the choice to play where they want to play and play the position that they want to play. But for every Noah Fant you lose out on, you get, I think, someone like an Amir Abdullah who, you know, you're the benefit of maybe his first choice not wanting him to play the position that he has his sights on. And I would say, at least in this case, it worked out pretty well for Nebraska and for Amir.
Well, I would too. And, you know, to touch on that Noah Fant, however you say his name, situation, the one thing that I'm looking for in Scott Frost, besides on-the-field production, is I want in 10 years to have every single kid growing up in Nebraska to be a Husker fan. I went through high school, and, I mean, you know, kids liked Nebraska, but they weren't crazy about Nebraska like me. I would say that my one best friend is probably the only guy that was crazy about Nebraska football. Not on my level, but close enough to where I could talk to him all the time about Nebraska football and they would never get bored.
Do you think it's because, and don't take this as like me picking on you for your youth or anything like that, but like, most kids your age, you know, the kids you would have gone to school with, they weren't alive in the 90s, so they don't know how good Nebraska was.
Well, yeah, I think that's the main reason.
And
you know, a lot of the guys that have graduated, like I've been out of high school for 2 years now, a lot of the guys that, you know, like Texas or whatever, for some stupid reason, just because they were good when they were a little kid,
sure.
So they liked them. You know, they've grown up and they're like, man, Nebraska football is actually really fun.
And yeah, you find plenty of people who jump on the bandwagon, be it, you know, Texas when they were hot, or USC, or, you know, Florida had a couple of good years, and then, you know, obviously Alabama. I see more Alabama A, like bumper stickers and window decals when I'm driving in this area. Like, why would anybody in Illinois or Missouri give a rat's rear end about Alabama, except to, you know, be a bandwagon jumper?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Like Patriots fans in Nebraska. And I know NFL's different because there's no NFL team in Nebraska. But, you know, the whole reason I like the Chiefs is because it's the closest team to me.
Sure. Yeah, take that, Hoss.
Patriot fan. Well, the Hoss likes the Chiefs, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he also likes the Patriots. So.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, poor Haas. Let's all go down to the Blue Blood Brewing Company and pour one out for Haas. So we've talked about your favorite Husker or Huskers. What is your favorite Husker sports moment?
Oh, man.
Right?
This is too hard of a question.
Now I don't want to hear that, Evan, because you've listened to the other episodes. You knew that that question was coming. You should have been prepared. It must be all the summer school. That's affecting.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Well, let me explain. I've been to over 50 games.
Okay,
in my lifetime.
Show off.
So, man.
Now it does benefit that you're a student, right? I mean, you can.
Yeah, it does. I'll give you a couple like smaller favorite memories that I've had. And then I'm going to give you one from when I went to a road game, and then I think probably my absolute favorite. Back in 2000, I think it was 12, we played Michigan at home, and me and my dad were up in the skybox for that game, and it was just crazy loud, and I remember when Denard Robinson went down, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why we won, but... I remember just how electric that stadium felt. And that the same goes for the Miami game in 2014 that I was at,
mm-hmm.
and the Oregon game from my freshman year in 2016. So those are kind of the smaller memories. And then I'd say my favorite road memory, it would have been the Wisconsin game in 2016 when we should have won in overtime. I was actually sitting so low, close to the field that I couldn't even see that there was pass interference on Jordan Westerkamp. So,
well, you know,
I just thought that we lost because of bad play calling and stuff like that.
It must have been a proximity thing too, because the officials down on the field were so close that they couldn't see it either. Apparently, so.
Apparently, well, we were sitting on the opposite end because they were going into the student section.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska was, so we were sitting in the opposite end zone, and we were on like the 12th row up, so it was hard to see down there. So I was walking out from the game, and I got back to my car, was checking Twitter and stuff, and see everybody freaking out about how there should have been a pass interference call, and get back to the hotel room, and I'm still just devastated about that. So I would say probably my favorite Husker memory got to be in the 2014 season, or not? It would have been 2014, right? The Nebraska Northwestern game.
Oh, okay.
And they won the Hail Mary. Was that 2014?
I think it was 13.
Yeah, that was 13. Because we played Northwestern on the road in even years. Yeah. So
I was just going back because this 2017 was the first year without Westy, and yep. So he would have been a freshman in that, and that would have also been the end of the Ron Kellogg the Third era. So the short-lived Ron Kellogg the Third era.
My favorite, I'll go into detail here. My favorite part about that was. I don't know how many people remember exactly what happened leading up to that Hail Mary, but there was a fourth down and 15 where we had to get we had to convert, and I don't think we had any timeouts left. So
wasn't that the little dump pass to Amir?
Yep, and yep. He stretched across the first down marker as he was getting tackled, and we ended up moving the chains and we kept going. And that's one of the reasons why he was my favorite player. He willed himself to just help this team out so much. And then how different TVs in the house are kind of ahead or behind or sure. whatever. Well, my mom went upstairs. She started making dinner and she was watching on the kitchen TV, and that TV was a little ahead of us. And me and my dad downstairs.
Right,
and,
right.
So she saw the Hail Mary happen, and she had to totally muffle her scream so she didn't give it away. And when that happened, I actually, my 180-pound self jumped into my dad's arms, probably straight his back a ton. But we were just jumping up and down with excitement. And I would say that was probably my favorite Husker memory. I'm hoping that I create a new one this year. My parents and I are going up to the Michigan game.
Ooh.
This year in the big house, so that should be fun. And then I am taking a road trip with some friends up to Madison again. And you guys can all blame me when we lose this game. Because
what? Don't give me that when stuff. I don't want to hear.
We always lose when we play on my birthday. Missouri 2008, Ohio State 2012, and it's blowouts. So I would love to make this a new favorite memory.
All right,
I would really love it.
I'm going to tell you the same thing that I tell everybody who's ever going out to any contest. Be it athletic or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this right now, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, depths of my soul. You either come home a winner, or you don't come home.
Yep.
So if they lose in Madison or in Ann Arbor, you just better find a place to live, man, because
you ain't welcome back in this state. I've already come home after that Madison game, so I think I've already broken that rule.
I meant for 2018.
Oh, okay.
New
rule starting this year.
New coach, new era. Yeah. fantastic, man. I love the memories that are like tied to family. Do you happen to remember what your mom made for dinner at the day of that Hail Mary win over.
Yeah, I think it was just some of those Tyson, you know, frozen chicken wings or whatever. And okay, also, you can also blame me for the 2012 Big Ten Championship. Actually, blame my mom.
Okay,
because I told my mom back in 2011. You know those ready to bake Hy-Vee pizzas that you can get over by the deli, where it's pre-made. Isn't heated up yet. You just have to bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes. I told my mom that we can never get those pizzas because we always lose when we make those pizzas. And sure enough, 2012 Big Ten Championship game, mom pulls out a Hy-Vee pizza, starts making it. I'm like, well, we lost already.
I like that you're superstitious. I also have a little bit of superstition in me as well. So it's good. It's good for the soul. It drives us all a little crazy.
It does.
I hope to God that you share this link with your folks, so that you know you can for the world to hear you threw your mom under the bus.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't. I don't know. She knows that
she knows her sins. She knows her Husker faults.
Well, she knows now that I will literally starve myself before I eat one of those Hy-Vee pizzas during a game.
Will you eat it after the game, regardless of the outcome? I mean, it's pizza, you know, and it's there.
I don't think we've ever gotten to that point because she stopped getting the pizzas. But I would probably say no, just for the
On principle.
Yeah, on the principle of things.
All right, all right. I don't know your mom's name. All right, Mrs. Wiebe, no more Hy-Vee pizzas, period. Get some. I'll tell you what. Don't get Tombstones. DiGiorno's are okay.
You gotta get the Totino's, man. Those are like sometimes you can get those for a dollar.
I'm gonna hang up.
Those are great college pizzas.
Okay. Oh yeah, college. But your mom's not in college.
Okay, Jack's pizzas, then. Those are a little bit more expensive.
I'm glad that we're scraping the bottom of the pizza barrel, the frozen pizza barrel.
You know, the cheaper frozen pizzas are better, man.
I'm going to have to politely disagree.
You know, we're going to have to run a poll on this for coordination.
I will include a poll. Folks, if you are listening to this and you have done it through one of the numerous podcast apps that you can listen to the Five Heart Podcast, be it Apple Podcast Now or Stitcher or Google Play or Podbean or anywhere else, or maybe if you're one of the two people who listen on jitterymonkey.com, or more likely the people who might just pull up the coordination link, vote in the poll. I'm going to have a selection of about five different frozen pizzas. Select your best. This poll's going to run for a few days, maybe till the middle of the week. I'm curious because Evan and I are not going to be settling this debate. We're leaving it in your hands. I'm going to say,
watch me get utterly destroyed.
You know what? I think those Totino's might be a sleeper.
They're
not
I'm
bad.
I'm telling you, man.
They're not bad.
They're good.
They're not bad, but they're not the best. I think they'll have a strong showing and finish second. So anyway, that's be looking for the poll. Speaking of coronation, our final question for Evan. I say our. It's just me. How did it come about that you started writing and contributing for coronation?
So I just saw a tweet from, I guess, John last year that basically was wondering if anybody wanted to join the team. And he said, you know what, even if you have no experience, just hit me up. And so I messaged him on Facebook, and of course, you know, I've written like what, five articles for you guys in a year, but I do have an excuse. The fall semester I was working with Husker Vision, so that took about 6 months out,
right,
where I couldn't write for you guys. But I am hoping that once the fall hits, right now I'm super busy, once the fall hits, that I'm gonna really be able to start churning out articles. I would love to get more into the basketball side of things and the baseball side of things. And hopefully, especially once I'm out of college, I can start contributing a ton more.
And that's the thing, you know, John is very forgiving.
He is.
As far as you know, how much you contribute or you know, if you... Brian and I had a podcast years ago, like 2013, 2012, something like that, called Four Corner Nation, called Detasseling the Huskers, and it was a mailbag show. People, you know, tweeted us their questions or you know, sent them on Facebook, and we answered questions. And we'd like to do that here on the Five Heart Podcast, but nobody ever asks questions, so we just roll on. but we did that for a while, and then I don't know if I don't want to say we got burned out, but scheduling became an issue. I think that was about the time that Brian's little girl was born. You know, and so it just became like, we could record, but it's 10 o'clock and we'd rather sleep, you know. You know, so we let it go by the wayside. And we didn't do anything until football season 2016. And the whole time, you know, like, I'm still getting the email. This was before the Coronation Slack chat room. But I'm still in the email chain. I'm still, you know, piping in on the emails. But I'm not writing anything. I'm not contributing anything, you know, on the site.
Mm-hmm.
I might pop in occasionally for, like, a roundtable discussion. But that was, you know, but I was brought in to be a podcaster because that was my radio background. So when we started up this podcast in, like I said, in 2016, we only had one little off time when we couldn't really find anything to talk about in like the summer of 2017, and you know, a little bit before that, towards about the end of baseball season, you know, like the really really quiet months, like a year ago, give or take. But after we started it back up, you know, regularly, just before the football season of 2017. It's been a weekly show. We've only missed one, Haas and I, because we couldn't get our schedule synced up, and it's like, it's the off season, and I'm tired. We'll skip this week. No one will notice.
We'll skip a week. Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, I have fun with it, and Haas is great, and I'm enjoying the cross examination and getting to know you, Evan, because this is really the first time that we've talked.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, this was the cross examination name and concept. All credit goes to Haas Reuter. So everybody, you can at him at Haas Reuter. And Evan, as we wrap things up, what's your social media? You on Twitter? The fans can find you.
Yeah. My Twitter handle is at Weeby. It's WIEBE. Before E, except after C, remember that. And then, so Weeby _ in the city comes from the song "Do the John Wall."
So, okay. I got off in my brain when you said I before E, except after C, because then I went like, or was sounding like A, as in neighbors and way, and a weekends and holidays and all throughout May. And you'll always be wrong, no matter what you say. That's a comedian, Brian Regan. Highly recommend his stuff. So, again, hit us with we know it's WIEBE, and hit me with the rest of it.
_ in the city.
Weeby _ in the city. All right.
Yep.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I love doing podcasts.
Would you recommend it to a friend?
Yes, I will tell all my friends to listen to you.
And you're going to share it with your mom and dad?
Sure, I will.
I really want to know what your mom's feedback is after listening to this.
I'll post it in the Slack room.
Sweet. You know how we end the podcast every week?
Nope.
You don't make it to the end of the show, Evan?
No, usually I fall asleep.
Well, that is...
not that you're boring.
That is a
like
ringing endorsement.
Podcast before I go to bed.
And you don't go back and like find out what you missed?
I'm too lazy, to be honest.
Oh, Evan. Okay, so we end the show. I say a little thing, and then I say, go Big Red. And Haas usually says, like right now, he says, win the damn off season. So I'm going to say my little thing, and then I'm going to say, go Big Red. And then I just need you to say, with gusto, win the damn off season.
All right. So, hey, you got to cut me some slack, though. I'm a college student. college students are super hardworking, but they're also super lazy.
Well, I was going to, when you said slack, I'm like, well, if you're a college student, slacker is already implied. So. I kid. Yeah. I kid. Obviously, you're trying to get to 2 degrees or you know, finish up two majors in 3 years. That's impressive stuff. Keep working on schoolwork. Contrary to what John would say, actually, he'd probably agree, your degrees and everything's probably a little bit more important than the coordination stuff. We appreciate what you can do when time allows, but keep your nose to the grindstone and finish up those degrees, and then you'll have more time for fun when it's all said and
done. I will.
All right. That is Evan Wiebe, and I am Greg Mahochko, and this has been another cross-examination on CornNation.com and the Five Heart Podcast. Again, a reminder, you can find us on most of your podcast apps, at least the ones that I know about: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, Overcast. David McGee still is trumpeting that one. Okay, cool, David. Come on the show, buddy. We miss you, too. But anyway, rate and review, share it, and let people know, hey, we're all Husker fans, and you know, let your Husker fan friends know about it. Throw that retweet out when you see the official tweet from the Corn Nation or the Five Heart Podcast, you know, Twitter feeds. That's how we grow this. That's how we get more listeners. That's how we hopefully bring a better product to you. We're doing the best we can. I think it's pretty good. I have fun. Haas has fun. Well, maybe not in the emergency room in Branson, but maybe. You never know. You never know. I really don't know what the hell Haas is doing in Branson. But for Haas, who's not with us tonight, myself and our guest, Evan Wiebe, we remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
Win the damn off season.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.